Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. A clip there from Jurassic World, which opened on Friday to big crowds but mixed reviews, some of which came from the scientific community. While our understanding of dinosaurs has evolved eons since Spielberg's original blockbuster hit of 1993, the makers of Jurassic World chose to ignore some advances in paleontology, most likely for the sake of ticket sales. John Conway is a paleo artist and co-host of the Tetrapod Zoology podcast. He wrote about the faulty science behind Jurassic World's dinosaurs when the trailer first came out a year ago. He did see the film this weekend. And John, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Oh, thank you very much, Virginia. I'm glad to be here.
Before we begin, I'm trying to understand what exactly is a paleo artist.
A paleo artist is an artist that specializes in drawing or painting prehistoric animals. As you can imagine, it can be quite specialized. It involves quite a lot of reconstructing from fossils, reconstructing muscles and what covers the animals, how they lived, their behavior, that sort of thing.
So before we talk about why Jurassic World might be something of a disappointment for dinosaur buffs like yourself, we kind of, I think, have to talk about the original Jurassic Park. Why was it such a big deal?
Well, I guess the original Jurassic Park was the first film that showed a more up-to-date version of dinosaurs. I mean, many of us that grew up, you might remember back in the 80s, dinosaur books were generally full of these great big lumps with big thick legs that lived in swamps and dragged their tails and couldn't move very quickly. They were really stupid. Beginning in the 70s, dinosaur paleontology basically threw all that out. It was called the Dinosaur Renaissance, and a bunch of paleontologists and dinosaur artists came up with a new vision of dinosaurs, which was much more intelligent, possibly warm-blooded, faster moving, basically more interesting sorts of animals than had been presented since, well, the 30s, mm-hmm. The swamp dwellers. And Jurassic Park was probably the first big splash that those dinosaurs made.
And it kind of ignited a passion for dinosaurs and the study of dinosaurs. It was good for your trade, I guess.
Oh, yes, indeed. I mean, I think part of it was the surprise of people had no idea, and going to see dinosaurs that behaved like this and that were apparently based on real science, I think ignited a serious interest in a lot of people, especially people, I'm in my 30s, I think an awful lot of people my generation actually got into paleontology because of Jurassic Park.
So now, Jurassic World, what's missing from that depiction as far as you're concerned?
Well, as I said, Jurassic Park actually used the current thinking about dinosaurs back in the 80s and 90s to show people something they hadn't seen before, this new vision of dinosaurs. Now, since the original Jurassic Park, we've actually had another revolution in how we think dinosaurs looked and behaved. And I think a lot of dinosaur enthusiasts like myself were kind of hoping that Jurassic World would have the same sort of process as Jurassic Park, presenting the new dinosaurs to people and actually surprising them.
What do we know now that we didn't know in 93?
Well, in 93, we had very, very few feathered dinosaurs. I think there might have been one. So these are dinosaurs that aren't birds that nevertheless were covered with feathers. I think the first one was discovered in 92. I could be wrong about that. But basically, it was all too late for the film. Since then, we've discovered feathers on a whole range of dinosaurs, and it turns out it's not just a little smattering of feathers. Many familiar dinosaurs like Velociraptor were completely covered with feathers, much like a modern bird. They even had wings. Hmm. Beyond that, beyond the bird-like dinosaurs, we've also discovered completely non-bird-like dinosaurs, you know, relatives of Triceratops and things like that, with filaments and quills and a host of all sorts of weird body coverings that we had no idea about. And this has really come to light in the last 5 to 10 years.
I've actually seen one of your illustrations of the Velociraptor, and it looks like a bird. It looks like a giant bird.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, obviously we can never be sure exactly what prehistoric animals look like, but if you look at the fossils of these animals and compare them to the fossils of birds, the extensiveness of the feathers and so on looks very, very similar. If you cover them with feathers like a bird, they do start looking like birds.
Well, I do know that in 2013, the director of Jurassic World made a simple tweet. No feathers. That's all he said. Has the studio or anyone else come out and said why that decision was made not to depict the dinosaurs in Jurassic World with feathers or quills?
Not to my knowledge, but having experienced the internet and the sorts of people that enjoy Jurassic World, Jurassic Park, that sort of thing, there's a large contingent of them that think feathers make dinosaurs look silly. And I think probably in the focus groups for Jurassic World, they asked them whether they should put feathers on them, and they said no, that'd make them look ridiculous. Not as fearsome, not as scary, and therefore, no.
So, was there a missed opportunity to depict dinosaurs as they actually were in this film?
Obviously, I'm interested in the real animals, and therefore, maximizing their scariness is not really what I'm interested in. But if you are going to make a monster film, basically, with dinosaurs in it, I don't see why you couldn't have feathered dinosaurs in such a film. I mean, giant ground eagles isn't something which sounds too lame or tame, does it? These sorts of animals could indeed be very scary, and I really I don't think that they got that right.
But John, this may have been a movie studio decision for a scarier movie, but science does shift on dinosaurs as well. I mean, after many years of images of the long-necked, long-tailed brontosaurus, it's been around since the 19th century, that was determined to actually be an apatosaurus, and we've been using brontosaurus instead. Now they say brontosaurus is back. So science is shifting. What's to say we won't find today's notions about dinosaurs to be wrong?
I'm sure we will, but I think science does shift, but in many ways it also builds. So there's no way that in the future we will discover that these animals with feather impressions on the fossils didn't have feathers, for example. This is a cumulative thing that happens in science, that we do collect new facts, and there is so much new evidence about dinosaurs than there was, and that's not going to go away.
Where do you think that Michael Crichton, who wrote the original Jurassic Park, would have stood on this? I mean, was he a stickler for accuracy?
Yes, he was. He was very interested in the accuracy of this sort of thing, which is why the original Jurassic Park, I think, was relatively close to. Obviously, there were problems with it. There were things that they deliberately changed and so on, but it was relatively close to the cutting edge scientific understanding of the time. So I think that Michael Crichton, I think he would have put feathers on his Velociraptors. Yes.
Well, it's funny. I was just watching the Game of Thrones a couple weeks ago when the dragon came and carried, well, actually, I won't give any spoilers, but these kind of leathery limbed winged creatures have a kind of sheeny creepiness to them. And I'm wondering, should we expect anything different from a science fiction movie? Why should we hold them to the standard of science anyway?
Well, that's a good question. And I think that in many ways, having just seen the film, they do make it quite clear in the plot that these aren't dinosaurs. This is not what they looked like. They do say that, we've made these creatures as attractions. Us enthusiasts are often accused of not understanding that it's fiction, it's a film, we don't understand this sort of thing. And I do understand that you can make a monster film, and you can make a monster film inspired by dinosaurs and not be accurate. I mean, for example, the most recent King Kong had dinosaurs in it. They weren't accurate. I didn't really have a problem with that. I don't think it's we should always hold science fiction films to be as accurate as they possibly can be. But I do feel like Jurassic Park was quite a missed opportunity to show off the new exciting things we've discovered about dinosaurs that most people don't know about.
What did you think of Jurassic World?
I did try to just watch it as a monster film, as a romp, and I've got to say I didn't like
Well, John Conway, a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
John Conway, he's a paleo artist and he's co-host of the Tetrapod Zoology podcast. And we do have a link to read his article for The Guardian, Scientists Disappointed Jurassic World Dinosaurs Don't Look Like Dinosaurs. The link is at wordofmouthradio.org.